Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. It's the Carabao or Caribou Cup semi-quarterfinal, West Ham. Tonight I'm joined by John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hi, Jace, you all right?
Not good, mate. Not good.
That game didn't wake you
Things
up.
I do. Actually, I quite enjoyed it. I know it wasn't great, but I kind of enjoyed bits of it. So yeah. It's the things we do, the things we do. Also, I'm joined tonight by Carl, that London guy. Hello, Carl.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you, Jason? Obviously tired, but.
I'm very well. I'm okay, mate. I'm okay. But am I you okay?
Not too bad. Arsenal win. What more can you say?
Yeah, it's all matters, isn't it? In the chat box, we have the Walrus and the Hedgehog. Lambs, behave. Stop it. Stop it. Turnip surprise. Loki 73. Kalito Alguna. Oh, what else is there? Neil McKeown music. Kev Oguna's there. And 235 100. Jove 82. I tell you what. It is anything else? Hold up. I missed a couple. Corey Searles, Sidhu 7549, Daniel Kupka, David Irvine, Kelly Mayers there, Bradley Tucker's there. Have I missed anybody? If I've missed, say hello. Hello all. Glad you joined us tonight. 1-0 win over West Ham, the Carabao Cup. Lineups, Carl. What do you think of the lineup? Strong?
I thought it was stronger than I thought it was going to be honest, because there was loads of talk of us playing a load of kids, and we didn't play as much as I thought we would. The back line kind of picked itself. Debuchy was always going to come in. I was quite surprised about Kolasinac playing. Very, very surprised. Just because with Liverpool right on the horizon, I thought they would have saved him for that, and they didn't. So that must obviously mean that he's not going to play against Liverpool, and they're going to play Ashley Maitland-Niles against Liverpool, but that's another topic that we'll get onto. But Kolasinac for me was a very, very big surprise. Walcott coming into the squad, it was always going to happen. Giroud starting was always going to happen. I wasn't impressed with the midfield two though, the Coquelin and El Nene axis. It was just screamed off sideways passing. But it was a strong squad, and the squad that, in any day was always should have always gone through against this West Ham side.
I mean, I think the midfield is, with Ramsey injured, that was always going to be the way it is. I mean, AMN, yes, I'd like to see him there, but unfortunately didn't. And we're also joined by Vinny Gans and Pablo Amar. Who else is there? Who else? Oh, James Kivett. Okay, John. It's kind of lineup we expected with injuries. Game kicked off quite nicely, didn't it? A lot of effort. I thought Theo was bright to start with. I thought we had a go to begin with. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought we started with the right tempo. I thought Walcott was decent. He was tracking back as well and trying to put tackles in and trying to make runs. I had a few of the same concerns that Cole did about the midfield. I tweeted out that it was going to be a tough night for Joe Willock because he looked the most creative one out of the three in the middle. I thought Welbeck was bright as well. Really pressing in from the left, trying to make things happen. So I was pleased with the start. And then when you looked at a West Ham lineup, it was, we saw the way they played in the league. Then you add into the fact they've made some changes, brought in a few players who, were fringe as well, at best in that squad right now. You thought, yeah, it looks promising. I'm sure we'll be able to break them down. It was just the only thing I was looking for from the start that we did see was just using the width, because I thought through the middle we were lacking creativity because we didn't have an Ozil or Wiltshire, that type of player, to pick a pass through the middle. So we had to try and play to, hitting the ball in for Giroud or getting the ball in behind for Theo or Welbeck to run onto.
Yeah, no, it is difficult, especially when you play Cochrane, and then they are what they are. Okay, in the chat box, we've also got Stephen Edwards and Jim Howson. It's two of the stalwarts there. Jay Robb's there. Got a couple of good questions already. Bradley Tucker's put one in. We'll save that for the end. and Jovi 82 is probably a good point then. So, yeah, I'm glad to see everybody's contributing early doors. It's nice to see. After the initial good start, Carl, it kind of petered out into a little bit of a bitty game, didn't it? It kind of got broken up. There's a lot of fouls being given. There was no rhythm to the game and no pace to the game. You know, what do you think we could do to combat that sort of thing?
Unfortunately, that's how our, like I was saying to you before, Jason, that's how our quote-unquote first team are playing. It almost seems like there's a lack of something, and I don't know what that something is, a spark. I don't know if it's missing a player. I don't know if it's missing tactics. It's just almost like they're playing, and I hate saying this because it's an Arsene Wenger phrase, playing with the handbrake on. It genuinely does seem like it is. It seems like there's a lack of confidence throughout the whole squad. And I don't know what's going to change that. Maybe someone fresh coming in during the summer. Maybe it's a vibe within the club. Maybe it's, I know there's always rumours talking about it, but Alexis being in the club, maybe it's bad aura in the club. We just don't know at the moment. But it just seems like right now in the team, there's just something that's preventing us from being the free-flowing Arsenal that we can be. Like the team that when we beat Everton a while ago, that was Arsenal squad that was free flying playing football. We was brilliant that day, but I know Everton were shit, but you got to give us credit for being very good. And it's just seen since then. I know we've beaten, I think it was Huddersfield 5-0, but you know, it was a Huddersfield at home. We was always going to beat them, but it just seems right now there's something in the squad that's not quite right, and either something needs to be removed from the squad or something needs to be added to the squad.
Yeah, okay, fair comments. I see where you're coming from. Arun Shabir, Rudy Rastloss, Loki 73, Cayman Arsenal Forever. Who else? There's somebody else. Sidun 7549, Calito Elguna. They're all in there. And they're all making some good points. I can join that. Debussy, John. He looked a really bright spark today. Big difference of him, he likes an early cross. He likes to whip that ball in early. What did you make of his performance tonight?
I've been really impressed with him all season. Every time he's played, to be honest, he's featured the Europa League in that back three as the one on the right. I thought he did very well there in a position he's never played before. You can see he's much, you know, he's obviously very comfortable at right back. We saw how good he was there before he got all those injuries and had those problems. And I never thought he was going to get back in the squad. I thought, you know, that he ended up staying just because we couldn't get rid of him and that he was basically time at Arsenal was done. But he's proved me and I think a lot of other people really wrong. His understanding and reading of the game is really good. His recovery pace is still there, which is surprising considering the injuries he's had and his age as well. I think his passing's still there. He's neat and tidy on the ball. And I like the fact that, like you say, he does try to look for the early ball and the early cross. Didn't always come off tonight, but he varies it as well. He doesn't always put it in the air. Sometimes he tries to drill it along the ground. But you can see he's always looking for Giroud early, first time if he can. And I think that's something that, you know, I would like Hector to take notice of and maybe bring into his game and develop. And I do still think there is an argument that, you know, Bellerin hasn't been in great form. It depends on the formation because of the whole wing-back thing.
I'm about to ask you, actually. I'm about to ask you. Bear me a second. Dave Smith's in the chat box and Stephen Barr. Stephen Barr, we all care. We all care, Stephen Barr. Martin McGuigan's in there. I think it's how you pronounce it. Stefan Selby. Dave Irvine, we've mentioned. Yeah, I think we've got it there. Right, okay. First you then, because you're bringing it up, John. Would you start Debussy? Because Debussy loves a challenge as well. Sometimes a little reckless, but he, you know, he's not scared of a challenge. Would you start Debussy ahead of Hector at the moment?
If we plan a back four, yeah, I think I would.
Okay.
The thing is, I don't know whether Hector's lost some pace or he's playing a little bit within himself because there is no scene replacement for him in the first team at the moment and he's been told that, you know, he needs to stay fit and available. I'm not sure. I don't know what it is, but he's dropped off and there's just no competition. And I don't think until you start taking him out of the team and saying, no, this isn't yours, it's not comfortable anymore, he's not going to improve. I don't know, maybe his head's still turned from all the Barcelona talk. There's so many things it could be. It might just be form. That happens as well. We forget he's still very young. He started at such a young age in the squad. So, but at the moment, Debuchy's the player who's performing better. Yes, he's played against weaker opposition. You know, Europa League haven't been the hardest. And tonight, you know, West Ham didn't really offer a lot. But he's putting in the performances week in, week out when he has been picked. So, for me, you always pick the player who's on form. And at the moment, I think I put it in the chat earlier as well, three clean sheets with a back four as well we've had. excuse me again. To me, that screams you put Debuchy in.
Fair comments. Daniel Kupka and Schwinn like a gunman are in the chat box. On Debuchy, Carl, in for you or stick with Hector?
No, like John said, you've got to play your in-form players. And I think this is why a lot of teams falter, because they always go to the named player rather than the player that's playing in form. Is, I know it's a different subject, but it's why England falter all the time, because they always go to the name brand players rather than the players that are playing in form at the moment. And at the moment, you have to say Debuchy is playing quite well, and Hector just looks like he either needs a rest, which I don't see how, because he's playing literally one game a week. But there's something within his head that's not, he's not playing well. And I don't know if it's the fact that he knows that he's a guaranteed starter. No matter what happens, he's always going to play. And sometimes when you've got no competition and you don't think you need to play as well because you're always going to start, sometimes that may just get into it. So you shouldn't really do that. But I would, at the moment, maybe drop him, and maybe that will give him a wake-up call. If you don't start him, I think, oh my God, like, I'm not playing well, I need to start, like, back up my ideas, because there's someone behind me that can come in. And, you know, maybe it could have an adverse effect. It could happen. But I personally think that maybe not for Liverpool game, because maybe it's a bit too soon, but maybe for the game after that, you probably would look to drop him or give him a rest, whatever you want to call it.
Fair comments. Anthony Yee, we're going to ask that question later. He's in the chat box. Andre Lake is in the chat box. Is there anybody I've mentioned? Paul Alvis, Lambs. I try to give you all a mention, guys. If I do miss you, I am sorry. I mentioned Kev O'Gooner, haven't I? Andy Rhodes there. Andy Rhodes from the Gooners in the USA. John. We had a little bit of diving there. Hernandez is just falling over about the place. Andre, are you? You know, he goes down quicker than a bloody tramp on a sandwich, doesn't he? It was all a bit, you know, it was all a bit awful at times, wasn't it?
Yeah, it didn't feel, for what's supposed to be a London derby, it didn't feel very, you know, feisty or anything else really until Carroll came on. And even then it wasn't like particularly physical or anything like that, was it? You know, I thought Chicharito was, you know, trying to abuse the fact that it was two young centre-backs playing for Arsenal, and whether he was trying to get booked or get cheap free kicks, that kind of thing. And to be fair to the ref, I don't think he fell for it too often. I thought he did all right tonight. There wasn't a lot to deal with. And again, and also, you know, a word for Callum Chambers and for
we're going to come to them later on, actually. I've got a question for both of you. I'm going to look at the midfield and I'm going to look at Chambers and Holding, because I want to go into a bit more depth than that, if you don't mind. Edward Spencer is in the chat box. Who else is there? I missed somebody. Oh, Parth Sane is in the chat box as well. Hey, guys, you're right. Sorry to cut you off there, pal. I'm going to stick with you quickly, and then I'm going to come to Carl. Coughlin, there was a moment in the first half. We had a great bit of skill, ball over the head, and a fantastic ball to Theo, long ball to Theo, which was well defended. Coughlin had a bit of a game today, didn't he?
Yeah, he kind of took it on himself a little bit to try and be creative, but I think he, positionally, he was very good tonight. You know, let's be honest, West Ham didn't offer a ton, but when they did, I thought we dealt with it quite tidily. But yeah, some of his passing was really nice tonight. He put the ball through for Kolasinac. He put that little one where he did a little dink over the player and then the ball onto Theo. you know, his head was up. He was bright and alert. He was involved in the goal as well, you know, spotting the pass for that. So it was a good game for him tonight. And I think of all the players that we criticise, and he is one, we do criticise a lot because, you know, he is limited in what he can do. I do think he always tries and he always puts in maximum effort. And I think maybe because of what's going on with midfield and Ramsey being out, Xhaka's not in the best form. There's still question marks over whether Jack's there or not. Maybe him and, you know, Elneny was okay, I thought, tonight. But maybe he's thinking, looking at it and going, you know what, I've got a chance to maybe get myself a spot back in the first team if I play well enough. So if he continues to perform like that, then great. I'm more than happy to have him in the squad as long as he's doing that week in, week out when he's picked.
Yeah.
No, Chris right now is stroking himself. I know. He's going to be stroking himself.
Oh, look, he's played a dog shit West Ham team, okay? Let's be fair. You know, it's about time you had a decent game. But I did think that Mark Coughlin played well, to be fair to him. Somebody's put something in. Oh, Neil McKeown Music has just put it in them at the chat box. I'll upgrade Theo to a Bluetooth espresso machine if he buggered off. That's a bit harsh. Carl. Minutes, we didn't see Kolasinac much in the game, did we? There was a point where he bombed down, he made a run, and Welbeck went back inside when he was the perfect ball. But as soon as he kind of got into the game, because I thought, you know, Debussy had been in the game from the start, we looked a bit more dangerous when we had the options down both sides. What do you think of Kolasinac today?
I thought he had a good game. I thought he was doing what we saw him do when he first came to the club in the beginning of the season. He was getting down the left-hand side. He was popping them crosses in. You could tell the difference to when, like I said, plays when Giroud plays. Because when Giroud plays, there's always a target man in the box. And that's what Debussy and... I forgot his name now. Debussy and... Kolasinac was doing. They were both getting them crosses in to hit them early into Giroud, and you know that's what we needed. Now I thought, for me, Kolasinac was doing his job, and I know we'll probably get onto it in a second, the Walcott chance, but that's what you kind of want, need someone to get down the wing, get the ball into the box and pick out a pass. And I think he's quite good at it. It's just really surprising that he started tonight, which, you know, it does put question marks at the Liverpool game. But no, I thought, obviously, he hasn't been playing too well, but obviously, he's been dropped, and now he's back into the squad. I know, yes, we can always talk about the opposition, but you've got to think about how good you're playing rather than how shit the opposition are playing. And for me, he played quite well.
Yeah, no argument there. I'm not sure if he had a little niggle, mind you. I think there's talk of him having a little niggle, and that's why he was on the bench. After 34 minutes, John, we had no efforts on target. And then we had a Kolasinac effort, which kind of went all over the place. Then the Walcott header.
So we started the show and we were nice about Theo because I thought he put himself, you know, about quite well when was tracking back and stuff. And then he started to disappear. Then all of a sudden, bang, in the middle of the box, takes so much space, is unbelievable. It's one of those clever runs he does. Kolasinac, great ball, and that was from a pass from Coquelin as well. We, you know, picked him out. He's run out really well. And just, if you're going to do a diving header, you've got to hit the target because otherwise you look like an absolute cunt. And that's what he looked like. He could have brought it down on his head, brought it down on his feet. He could have flicked it over his own head, got a couple of... He had no one around him for 10 yards. And you've got Joe Hart in goal, who, let's be honest, hasn't been a goalkeeper this season. Oh, what an absolute joke, really. It's so frustrating as well because the only thing with Theo is he'll do things like that all season long and he'll still get like 15 plus goals.
Okay, I'm going to...
He just does it and it's so... Oh, he's so frustrating and I can't... I love all the times...
I'm going to challenge you. I've given Theo some stick over the years. I did think he put in a lot of effort tonight. I think his first touch at times was poor. And I thought that miss was horrendous. But Is there an excuse for Theo in the fact that he's not playing regularly? You know, yeah, he's had a few games in the Europa League in this competition.
No. There is no...
Go.
No, not at all. What an absolute... In the words of Brian Clough, you need shooting for missing from there. That's shocking. Absolutely shocking. Just hit the target. That's all I'm asking.
It's the fact that he had so much time. He could have easily, on the chest, he could have controlled it. Yeah. There was a numerous amount of things that he could have done with that ball, and he just didn't do it. And this is why I always say Theo Walker has not got a footballing brain, because a better player or a smarter player would have known there's no one there. Bring it down. He had a tap-in. He literally had a tap-in because everybody was on the other side of the goal. So if he had brought that down, he easily had a tap-in. I mean, if that was thrown to Giroud, that's a goal all day. All day, that's a goal.
Imagine, that's the thing as well, you can't stick up for Theo because Giroud would get slaughtered for missing that, and I would slaughter him for it. It's not even like he missed by like just sort of outside of the post. That nearly went out for a throw-in. That is not acceptable for a Premier League footballer. You know, and Theo's been a great seventh for the club. He's got a lot of goals. He's got some great memories. He's got medals and everything else. And he has contributed at times, and I'm never going to knock him for that. And I've celebrated his goals, and he loved scoring against Spurs and the winding them up and everything. Great. But just, please, just let him go. The time's done. You can get so much money for him. It's ridiculous.
Oh, no, his price tag came down by at least 5 million after that miss. Now,
are you still... Did you see how Oxlade Chamberlain performed at the start of the season, and we got 40 million for him? If you're English, you get stupid money. It's so easy.
I think I've been set straight there, boys. Fair play. Well, I tried to defend you. There you go.
Oh, look, if he hadn't done Carl, that, I would have given him a pass tonight. But that is... Oh.
It's unacceptable.
He would have sacked his striker if he'd missed by that much. Even Chris would have been the player.
Okay, enough of that. Right, in the chat box, we have Norma Ott and formerly Noza. Hi, guys, you okay? Brilliant. Carl, then pop up, the Welbs pops up and scores a screamer. Oh, no, it wasn't a screamer, was it?
The goal was so Warbeck-esque, it was unreal. I mean, it was good build-up play. It was very, very good. And that's what I like about Arsenal, you know. When we get it right, we get it very, very right. It was very, very good. But, you know, only Welbeck could... I think it came off his chin, and then he had managed to get another bite at his cherry, which was good because he's always there. You know, Danny Welbeck, you can't fault Danny Welbeck for effort. He puts himself about all the time, and he's one of the players where you always think to yourself, is he good enough to play for Arsenal? You know, but he's one of the ones where effort is an A. He will run and run and run for you all the time. And that's what sometimes you need. Sometimes you just need someone to go on the pitch and just say, run, hassle the opponents, be the outlet. And that's what he does. His end product, no, he's not very good. That's very, very right. But, you know, I think for me, the goal, the build-up was very, very good. And A for effort, for getting it on target. I mean, well, you couldn't really miss from there, to be honest. But he, for me, is someone who, whenever you criticise him or whenever he misses, you always think to yourself, I don't know if I really want him in the squad. And then something like this happens. And then you think to yourself, who else in the Arsenal squad could do something like that? Who in the Arsenal squad will put themselves about like that? You know, it's... I know we don't really want squad fillers, but Danny Welbeck, I think, is quite essential to our club. And yes, I don't want him to start. Some games. But for me, the goal was quintessential Danny Welbeck. Good build-up play from Arsenal is what we do. And, you know, very well done to Arsenal. We got the goal.
Yeah. The Walrus and the Hedgehog messaged me and said... Danny Welbeck now holds the record for goals in off the knee for an English player. What do you make of it, John?
He's the only player I know who has to scuff his first shot so he can also get the assist for his own goal, which is quite an impressive feat, because it's either that or he has to pretend he's going to shoot for the ball, because remember, he's only pretending. He's not actually just mishitting the ball and missing it for someone else to then score, and it's a dummy. No, I said at the last radio show, look, I like Welbeck and I like his effort. again, his lack of certain technical ability and his finishing isn't great, and it's a problem, and it's why I said I would consider selling him if we got an offer for the right price, and obviously depending on if we got in an appropriate replacement. But I will never knock his effort and his work rate and what he puts in. And that's what I really like about him. And he strikes me as the sort of bloke who, wherever he went and played football, he would put in the same amount of effort regardless. So you got to respect that about him at least. But like Cole said, right place. He put himself in there. The build-up was really nice. The ball from Coquelin out to Debuchy, wasn't it? And then the header back across. Just really, really good, smart build-up play, using a bit of whip and, you know, switching the ball quickly, what we've been crying out for. So, there's not a lot more you can say about it, really. Welbeck didn't do a ton more in the game. You know, he ran around and pressured and that kind of thing and chased down at the back, but that was about it, really. But he got the goal when it got us through, and, you know, now we're in the semi-final, so...
That's a fair point. I got soft spots for Danny Welbeck. I think, you know, I just wish he had that sort of scoring that scoring ability, you know, that natural ability, that instinct to grab easy goals, because as you say, his effort is second to none. Just one of those guys. That was the end of the first half. Second half kicked off with a really interesting fact that the touch judge hurt his back at halftime. I don't know what he was up to. Maybe he lost his spine and had to be replaced. And there was a kerfuffle with that because he got his mate to do it. It was ridiculous. There were two changes of a fourth official because his mate wasn't registered a referee. Oh, isn't that...
What would have been interesting is if the referee had got injured in the second half, what would have happened?
Well, it would have been more interesting than the second half, to be fair.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If he'd referee hurt himself in the second half, what would have happened?
He'd have to step in, and then you'd have to then get a replacement linesman and another replacement fourth official, because then I assume they just get bumped or something like that.
Yeah, but he would have run the line because there wouldn't have been enough people.
The guy who came down to be the fourth official was there as a spectator.
Mm.
And he was in hospitality ever, so they got him, so they could have done that, and God knows they've done the fourth official then. But never mind, let's get on with this. Danny, I will ban you. Stefan Selby, I'll ban you, not a fucking problem, fella. Cheeky git. I love Stefan Selby. I think the second half kicks off. It's not a massive amount happening, Carl. One of the things that did happen, which really annoyed me, Willock was in the corner. He had three hammers going towards him, and Welbeck has just stood there. And you know, we talk about Welbeck's effort, etc., but Willock got robbed, and nobody came to be the outlet for him. They just stood there and watched. Did that kind of sum up our game tonight? You know, we did okay, but you know, we weren't quite at it. We weren't quite there for it. What do you think?
Not just tonight. Our lack of movement is quite worrying. It's quite concerning. You think Arsenal teams of the past, and I hate to be one of these people that drum on about the past, were always known about our movement. We was always, you know, a team that was quite pacey, who could move the ball from back to front very, very quickly. But it just seems that within sort of Arsenal lately, it just doesn't happen. And even today, you could tell that if you look at Theo Walcott, he was, you know, very fast. Danny Welbeck, he's got a bit of pace about him. Codicina, Chain Snow, slow, sorry. So we have players, you know, that can run. It just seems that the outlet or the movement just wasn't there today. And it's not just today. It's quite a worrying factor within our game at the moment. So, like I said earlier, I hope there's something in the squad that needs to change or, you know, taken out or put back in. Who knows? But I think that with our faster players, our players, you know, who can run quite quickly, you'd say to them, you know, stay up. So, you know, the outlet, hit a long ball. Sometimes a long ball, you can't always play pretty football. You know, this one touch passing doesn't always work. Sometimes you need to hit it long and run, and Arsenal sort of don't really do that from our first team to our quote unquote, like I said, mixed team.
I think it's a good point, mate. I think it's a good point. In the chat box, Danny McEwen, Danny the GFP, our own Danny, has just asked Neil McEwen Music, do you do music, Neil? For fuck's sake.
He's the Michael Owen of questions, isn't he, at times?
Oh, honestly, he's not even that good. We got Basti LZ in the chat box, Paul Alves. And there's a number of others. Sorry if I've missed you guys. I do apologise. The second half was a bit dire. There was the holding Hernandez coming together. Debussy gave a free kick away. Carroll came on. First thing he did was... I don't think it was that bad, actually, but he sort of tipped Coughlin over. And Coughlin then proceeded to roll about as if he'd been shot. You're taking all those things, John.
When he came on, I was a little bit worried because we've kind of stepped off the gas a bit in the game, and it was very typical of, we've been in control for so long. Have we taken it a little bit too easy, not got the second goal, and here comes a bloke, you know, who's, whatever you think about Andy Carroll, he's very, very good in the air, and he can hold the ball up well, and he could bring some players into... you know, some West Ham players into play and maybe get on the end of a cross. And it must be, you know, a bit of a daunting prospect playing against Carroll if you're Chambers and Holding. They're both young kids, but they dealt with him really, really well, I thought. It was the only time...
They went for it.
They really were under pressure. Rob Holding had a bit of a row with him after their first, like, coming together. And he just stood his ground, didn't budge at all. Which I thought was really, really good. And it's something I've seen actually from a lot of the young players. You had Maitland-Niles had a row with, it might have been Arnautovic or someone in the last game against West Ham.
Yeah.
Stood his ground, didn't budge. He looked, you know, I think Arnautovic was a little bit surprised, a bit taken back by it. Reece Nelson tonight as well with the Masuaku, I think, the left back at West Ham.
Yeah.
You know, Reece Nelson, young kid, he's not exactly big or anything. All stood his ground. And I was... kind of a little bit excited because I thought, oh, well, you know, if it does get a bit rough and tumble, at least something is going to happen in the game. But after sort of a couple of challenges, nothing really came of it. And I was a bit like, disappointed there was no scraps or anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but to be fair, I think, you know, we've talked about it over the last few weeks on here. We've seen our guys put the foot in a little bit more often recently. You know, you got Ramsey doing it. You've got you've even got Meza doing it at times. Not the same degree, but you know, everybody's getting involved. And I think that's sort of kind of coming through the squad now. And I think opposing teams is kind of stop and what's going on here. You know, there was, I can't remember which game it was the other day, but there was Southampton. There was a period in the middle of the game where there were challenges flying in from our guys. It's good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something we've struggled with for a long time, that physicality in games and being bullied quite easily. And it's nice to see now that we're actually going to, you know, stand up for ourselves and not be kicked about in games so much. So I'm really pleased with it. But that genuinely did impress me, the way that Chambers and Holding dealt with Andy Carroll, because I've seen much more experienced centre-backs who are much bigger and physically stronger really struggle to deal with him. So well done to them, because let's be honest, it's very easy to switch off after, what, 70-odd minutes in a game where they haven't had a lot to do, to be caught cold, and they weren't. They were really prepared for him and played him really well, I thought.
We're going to talk about them a bit more later. Carl, there's a Joe Hart challenge on Welbs. It was a really good through ball. I think it was from Coughlin again, to be fair. I really want to... It's nice to be able to praise Coughlin. It really is. City are through, by the way, guys. City are through. Honestly, it's the first time I've been able to say three good things about Coughlin in the game. I'm over the moon. But yeah, Carl... Good ball through from Coughlin. Welbs running onto it. Joe Hart comes in. Now, I saw the replay. Joe Hart makes contact inside the penalty area, and then they kind of fall out. I thought it was a penalty. Was it a penalty for you?
It's one of the ones where I would try to look at it objectively. So if...
Oh, this is an Arsenal podcast. Fuck objectives.
if it happened the other way around, would I be screaming for the other team? Like, would I be saying, nah, that's out of order? Probably I'd say it's soft. So I'm going to say this one. I think it's soft. I think...
Hold up, let me challenge you. I'm challenging you straight away in this. Okay, so Welbeck's running in. He's come across because it's close to the edge of the area, and it is close. I'll give the referee that it is close, but he's gone in feet first. He's not taken the ball, but he's taken Welbeck out.
But it was right on the edge, though, wasn't it? It was right on the edge.
Did the referee take the easy option of giving the free kick?
Oh, definitely. He didn't want to make a hard choice. So the free kick was definitely the easier option, most definitely.
But the bottom line is contact started inside the area.
Did it? So I thought that it was outside.
Maybe I'm looking through my glasses. John, penalty for you? Yes or no?
I'll be honest, in real time, I thought he touched it outside. I saw a replay and I thought it was like bang on the edge, maybe. But I only saw one replay of it. So I'll just
go. Pair of shit houses. Pair of shit houses.
I thought the one thing he did get right was the fact it was a yellow card because he was going away from goal.
Absolutely. No qualms with that.
The punishment thing is weird. And in the end, to be honest, it didn't matter, which is the good thing. Now, I hate coming away from games and moaning about refs. Yeah. It's so pointless. They're human. They're going to get...
In all fairness, it's the old Brian Clough thing. They get more right. They get less wrong than the players do.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's something terrible... You know, and we've seen some horrific refereeing decisions as Arsenal fans. You know, then by all means have a pop. But there was nothing to mourn about Kevin Friend today. There wasn't. You know, if he'd given a penalty, great. But, you know, with the free kick, I thought it was a penalty, but never mind. John, Giroud Hami, he pulls up very quickly in the middle of the pitch. That could cost us, couldn't it?
Yeah, that's not good news. I mean, I instantly assume hamstring, so what, 3-4 weeks or something like that, which is not good. Really busy period, so that will be rest of this month, and then maybe into, you know, early Jan, might miss the FA Cup, who I don't even know who we're playing in that, actually. And obviously, the other thing now is, Forest. The other thing now is we've got these two games for the semi-final. It's a two-leg thing. So that's another two games to add into our season. So, I mean, the one, I guess you've got to look at it as one positive that if you need to take Lacazette off in a game, then Welbeck can come on and play through in the middle. So the team doesn't have to adjust its style of play. Yeah. Because I think when you swap Lacazette for Giroud or the other way around, whichever way you do it, the team then has to, you know, the change very much changes the way it plays the game. And I think if you're changing from Laka to Welbs or vice versa, it's a lot easier to keep the fluidity. It's just one of those things. Your hamstring can just go. There's nothing you can really do about it. The Coquelin one apparently isn't too bad. It's just a bit of, apparently it's just a bit of cramp. So that's one, you know, bonus, because we all need the midfielders. The only other person you can see obviously playing through the middle is, what, you don't really want to put Walcott there. I know Arsenal did it tonight, but that doesn't really strike me as an option. It's Alexis, I guess, is the other option through the middle. He's even less likely to give the ball away, I suppose, like in a harmful way to the team if he's playing straight through the middle, if he's the last man. So,
but he chose not to play through the middle. He's the one who decided he didn't like playing through the middle. He wanted to play in a more interactive part of the game, you know.
I think the thing with it is, if you're in a game, and let's be honest, we know Arsenal at the moment likes to take off Lacazette. if Arsenal is going to bring a player off, it's probably going to be Lacazette, and then he'll say, Alexis, you play through the middle, and Welbeck, you go and play wide, or Iwobi, or something like that. So maybe he doesn't do it for 90 minutes. It might just be for 20 minutes in a game. But, you know, it is a concern because you're going to need rotation. I mean, I think you saw tonight, you know, like seeing Kolasinac in the team wasn't something you expected. But then when you look at the options, you're like, oh, well, Maitland-Niles has proven himself in a first team. So maybe he should be keeping himself in there, whether he's going to say, we'll chuck him in midfield or we'll leave him at left back or whatever. You know, he doesn't seem to want to move Monreal. So you've got to rotate this period in the season. So it is a really big loss. I don't think he's going to start many games. Yeah. But he's always had an impact off the bench. So it's really, really disappointing.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's frustrating. Mad Wide Sports and Jim Bernstein are in there. There's a lot of cock jokes coming my way tonight. I will be needing a shower and bleach after this. But no, you've got to give him credit. Carl, the game kind of petered out then. One of the facts one of the guys has put in the box is that, and who was it? Who put that in there? Loki 73 put in that West Ham, no shots on target all game. They didn't offer much. And did we look like losing that game at any point? Because I thought even when Arnautovic came on, him and Carroll were ineffective because Holding and Chambers were really effective and they had to be. Not that they had a lot to do. What do you think of how the game petered out?
Yeah, the last 20 minutes was like really, really bad. It was almost like when we played them in the league. But the job was done. And that's what, in some games, you need. Sometimes you just need to get that goal. And then sometimes, just if there was pressure, soak it up and just play the ball, pop it about. And West Ham didn't really offer anything. But I think that was more, I hate when people say, oh, the other team played badly. You know, sometimes you've got to look at yourselves and think, we didn't give West Ham the chances. You know, I think our back line was quite good today. You know, I know we've spoken about Holding and Chambers, but they were, I know West Ham didn't offer much, but they were good today. And what they had to deal with, they dealt with effectively. You know, I know we spoke about this off camera, Jason, but, you know, they're probably going to be the future for Arsenal. Surely they are. I guess we'll talk about it later or talk about it on the podcast. But, you know, you can only deal with and they can only play with what's put in front of you. And if you've got a shit team in front of you and you play well against them, then so be it. That's all you can do. And with Arsenal, it's you can never get a perfect game with Arsenal. You know, if we don't go and batter a team 6-0, people say, oh, no, we should have done that. It was a good game. You know, we got the goal. Yes, it was only one goal. West Ham didn't have any shots on goal. They weren't a threat. We played well. We're through to the next round. And sometimes that's all it is. You know, you can't always go out and expect a brilliant performance and a brilliant result. The fact that we're through with a clean sheet and a goal, that's all you need.
Absolutely agree, mate. Absolutely agree. Well said. Okay, guys, in the chat box, if you've got any questions, we're just going to cover a quick... That's the game done. We're going to cover a couple of quick points. If you've got any questions, pop them in now. It's not going to be a long one tonight. Coming up over the Christmas period, we've got shows after every game as usual, even the New Year's Eve show. We've even got a New Year's Eve show. What am I doing with my life? What am I doing with my life that I'm doing a podcast on New Year's Eve? Normally after that game on New Year's Eve, I would be slaughtered in a boozer somewhere, getting ready to roll about in the muck. Corey Austin's in the box. Fly KJ's in the box. Oh, what else is there? Frogower is in the box. And, oh, there was somebody else. Bugger. If I've missed you, mate, I'm ever so sorry. But yeah, any questions, pop them in. Loki 73 is already in there taking the mickey. I love it. Right, okay, there's a lot of piss taking in here now. There's a lot of piss taking. Right, slow down. Right, okay, John Youth next. I want you to talk about Elneny and Coughlin. How do you think they did today?
I thought they were decent. I thought Coughlin was the better of the two. I thought that Elneny was his very typical sort of 7 out of 10, didn't really do too much wrong, didn't do anything particularly spectacular. Coquelin was better than he has been, played some really nice passes, picked out some nice balls, intercepted well, read the game pretty well. But, you know, to be fair, they didn't have the hardest game in midfield, you know, against their opponents. But like Carl said, you can only do what's in front, you can only play what's in front of you. So they did their best today. A nod to the other guy in midfield, Joe Willock, who I thought did quite well tonight. A couple of times he got bullied a little bit, a bit too easily. But again, that's just an age thing and building up strength and stamina. These are all good things. But he seemed to make the right decision. He was bright. He was very positive with the ball. His first thought was always to go forwards with it. You know, he was always looking for an option forwards. And if he could try and carry the ball forwards if that was a option there, rather than going sideways or backwards first. So, yeah, I thought the midfield was decent tonight. It's clearly not our strongest midfield, and we've got better players in there. But for what they offer in the squad right now, you can't complain. And they did the job tonight. They got us through. So you can't really have any complaints about it.
That was said. Carl, I say I'm a lot, don't I? Carl, Chambers and Holding, we spoke about pre-match. When the big threat of Carroll and Arnautović came on, they just went for them. You know, there was no messing about. There was no holding back. They went in. They went in hard in them. They protected Ospina, and they dealt with the pace of Ayew and Hernandez very well. They looked a solid pairing tonight, didn't they?
They did. And like I said, you can only play what's in front of you. And what they dealt with, they dealt with well. You know, there's no secret that, in our opinion, I think, well, I'm not saying everyone shares my opinion, in my opinion, Koscielny's not been playing very well lately. It doesn't look, I don't know what's wrong with him, don't know if he's carrying an injury, whether he needs a rest, but whatever's happening, he's not doing very well. But the problem is, Arsene Wenger has his favourites, and Arsenal, I don't think, would ever drop someone like Lauren Koscielny, and he looks like he needs a rest, just to be taken out of the firing line a little bit. Now, when you look at Arsenal's back three / back four, whatever you want to play, you know, if you're playing a back three, the back three is set. Mustafi, Koscielny, Monreal. If you go to a back four, it's Bellerin, Koscielny, Monreal, and you're probably looking at maybe Mustafi. Now, behind that, who's there? Now, if Koscielny went out for an injury, you know, you'd think to yourself, Mertesacker would step in. Mertesacker showed, what game was it? Was it not the Newcastle game? Was it the West Ham game or the game before that? Where he had a shocker. He did not play well whatsoever. And I think he got substituted in that game. And you're thinking to yourself, why aren't Chambers and Holding getting a chance? You know, at some point, you can't always protect these young lads. You've got to throw them in. And there are games where I think they could have played together. And it's... Mertesacker's on his way out. He's going to retire at the end of the season. So it may sound harsh, but what's the point in playing him? You know, he's got experience, and I think he's very, very good. And I'm not saying Mertesacker's a bad player, but you need to start thinking to yourself, okay, now's the time. You've got to start blooding these young guys. And why not play Holding, or why not play Chambers? I mean, Chambers just got a new contract, so clearly he must be in the plan somewhere. And let's go back to Holding, where he played brilliantly in the cup final against Chelsea. You know, he played absolutely brilliant with Mertesacker. So give him a chance. You've got to, because they're our future. I can, maybe not next season, but maybe the season after, they're going to be our starting centre-backs if we don't buy anyone else, you know, depending on what happens in the manager situation or something like that. But sorry for rabbing on. But for me, you've got to, at some point, you've got to say, okay, I'm going to put them in against the lesser teams that we were saying. You know, there's sometimes you've got to say, you know what? Let's just try them. Defenders are going to make mistakes. We know this. So better to get them out early for me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I thought they didn't have a massive amount to do tonight, but what they did very well. And they looked aggressive, which I really liked. Okay, we saw Ben Sheaf, Josh De Silva, Willock and Nelson tonight, guys. I thought Willock, you know, he's learning his trade. It's a difficult ask. He showed some bright moments, but you know, I thought all the youngsters did quite well. You know, they didn't have a massive amount to do, but they came on and they looked accomplished. Important minutes for them, John?
Yeah, I think so. I think in Willock's case, you know, he hasn't had the best midfielders to play with. I think I'd seen better games of him when he's played with the likes of Wilshere, and he's clearly more forward thinking. You can also see that in the games where he's played with the other younger lads, like Nelson has been on the pitch from the start, where Izzy Maitland-Niles has been on the pitch, they already have an understanding from the youth team. And he's obviously developing that with the experienced pros now. That's going to take time. But I thought his passing was neat and tidy. He didn't really give the ball away. He was always bright and positive. Reece Nelson, I really like. When he came on, you know, he got to play from in his favoured position rather than at wing back. You saw him taking people on, trying to get a cross in, cutting back inside. He can go left foot, he can go right foot. That's really good. The two centre backs we've already spoken about, and you know, I do like both of them. De Silva, I mean, he didn't really have enough time to do anything. Ben Sheaf, I think he rode one tackle quite well, quite strongly, and then
he looked for a good. He always looked for a decent pass, didn't he?
Yeah,
when he did have the ball.
You know, he was, you know, just sort of comfortable in possession, very tired. Typical sort of player you see at Arsenal, essentially. Yeah. But, you know, they didn't really have enough time in the game to analyse them properly. But I would expect that you might see Willock maybe get a loan, whether it be second half of the season or next year. Maybe he gets a loan and gets like to a Premier League club so he can get games every week. Because I think he's at that stage now where he needs to get that to understand the pacing of the game, how you've got to keep your fitness throughout it, build up your strength a little bit. Be able to deal with challenges a bit more, because a couple of times he got bullied a little bit too easily. But again, that is just an age thing. But Reece Nelson, I think, is the out of the ones that play tonight, anyway, is the really exciting one for me.
Yeah, no. I think that's a comment, mate. Right, Carl, we're going to go to questions now. Right, Bradley Tucker asks, who's better, Coughlin or Elneny?
At what?
As a footballer, come on, behave.
It depends on what you're using him for. Like, if you just want someone to sit and hold, then Coughlin never does that, whether it's instructions from Arsene Wenger. But, you know, when's the last time you actually saw Coughlin just sit and hold and do nothing? I'd go, if I had to pick someone to play in the squad, I'd go for Elneny, just because I think he gives you a little bit more. He's got more athleticism, maybe a crab sideways passing, but his passing really kind of good, and he doesn't go on these mad runs. So probably Elneny just about. Are you on mute, Jason?
Yeah, I've done a Gimli. Sorry, guys. We're gonna run through these questions now. We've done about 50 minutes. We're not gonna have a long one tonight. It's the Carabao Cup. John. Anthony Alves asks, Walcott, is he getting himself offside? Same mistakes over and over again. Talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I slaughtered him enough for that awful effort he had on goal. I don't think you're ever going to see Theo Walcott improve from the player he is at the moment. I think if you saw him at a, you know, the so-called smaller clubs like a Southampton or Everton or someone like that, he might play through the middle as a striker and he might get you 20 goals a season. But he's got... it's like Darren Bent syndrome, isn't it? Darren Bent is a player who guaranteed you 20 goals a season in the Premier League, which is very good, very difficult to find that kind of striker. But it only worked up until he got to a certain level of club. And when he got above his playing skill, then he just couldn't hit that target anymore, which doesn't make sense because you're playing with better players, so it should be easier to score goals. And Walcott's got the same issue. I think if you kept him in the squad and you played him, you know, I don't know, if he got 30 games between starting and subs and whatever, he might get you 15 goals and 5 assists every season, which isn't bad, but it's not terrible. But I think for the money that you could sell him for, the wages that you get freed up, you can get a better player probably on less money, to be perfectly honest.
Fair comment.
And that's just the way Theo is. I don't think you're ever going to change the way he plays. He's past that point of coaching now. You can't do it anymore.
No, that's fair enough, mate. Andrew Rhodes asks, Jason, why don't you have any Christmas decorations up? Christmas. Bar humbug. Yeah, that's the way I feel about it.
I haven't got any other Christmas decorations.
No, bye, to be honest.
Top man. Hey, brothers in arms. What can I say? Right, let's fly through these guys. Carl. I don't know who asked this. So I do apologise. But is Gattuso going to manage the Arsenal?
No.
Fair enough. John,
he would absolutely terrify them. They were losing the other night, and you could hear him on the touchline. He said, if you lot don't score, I'm going to murder you in training. And went 1-2-1. Honestly, seriously, you could hear the mics picked it up. And then there was a brilliant shot of someone, he didn't like his hair. So he's in the club like diner with them all. And he just goes over to the player with a pair of scissors and grab his hair and starts chopping bits of it off.
Oh, that's fantastic. He's a hell of a character. I loved him as a player. Loved him. He's still a cult hero at Rangers, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
John, Martin McGuire asks, what do you think of Wenger trying a 4-3-3 against Liverpool?
Go on.
Who would you play? Who would be in the three?
Hello?
I can hear you. Who would be in the three? Well, I think you'd have to go Xhaka, all depending if Ramsey's fit.
But is he, though? Isn't he out for another week or so?
I'm not fit, he walks in. Out, isn't he? Yeah.
So then who's going to be your three? Xhaka and... Well, it has to be Onene, isn't it? Because there's no one else.
Well, unless Coughlin's fit.
No.
It will be. I guarantee if he plays 4-3-3, it will be Lacazette, Alexis and Ozil as the front three, and then it will be Iwobi, Jack and Xhaka. And whether Ozil and Iwobi will swap positions or not is a matter. But that will be that six.
I got to be honest here. I don't know what I think about what formation to play in that game. I'm really torn on it, because if you're going to go with the three, we are at home, we have to attack. But if we play the two in the middle with the three at the back, I worry about Jack and Xhaka together. I'm not sure.
Do you want to put our three centre-backs, which would be Koscielny, Monreal and... maybe Mustafi, as he's back in training, if he's available for the game. Do you want to put them 1-1 against Liverpool's front three?
I don't. I also don't want to turn the ball over with Iwobi and Sanchez giving the ball away and making the wrong decision.
And half the pitch.
I don't think you can have a choice with Sanchez, because he's going to play regardless, whatever the formation.
Yeah.
The problem is if you play a midfield three, you have to get someone to sit. Now, is Xhaka going to sit? No. Is Ramsey... Wilshere going to sit? No. As much as I don't like Coquelin would have been the one to play and just tell him, don't go past the halfway line. But unfortunately, he's obviously out now.
When it's home, you've got to attack as well. It's a difficult one. It's a really difficult one.
He's no better than ours, let's be honest. It's worse than ours.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot worse than ours.
But you need fluency going forward, don't you? And you'd have to go down the right an awful lot and avoid Alexis for fluency. Okay, let's move on from that. Turnip Surprise asks, Jason, who was your man of the match? I'm not going to say Coughlin because I don't think it was him. I'm going to say Callum Chambers, because when Carl came on, he just went for him. I know he didn't have a lot to do, but there weren't many... There weren't many standout players today, were there? Carl, John Bernstein asks... No, we've already asked that. Sorry, John. Stephen Barr asks, should I take a half day on Friday and go out and watch the game in public? I'm scared.
Listen, Liverpool, yes, they beat us 4-0. 4-0 or 4-1, was it? At the beginning of the season, I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
4-1, I think, wasn't it? Yeah.
And that game is over with now. At the moment, Liverpool are playing very well. You know, there's no denying it. As much as I don't like Liverpool, you know, they're playing very well right now. But look up when we played Tottenham. Everyone was scared about how fluent Tottenham were and how they were going to beat us. And look what happened. If we turn up on our day, we can be very, very good. And Liverpool have always got the tendency to be Liverpool in them. Do you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I know Jason's saying we're at home and we've got to attack. I think we've got to find a balance. I think there's got to be, we can't be too scared to attack them, but at the same time, we can't go gung-ho because you might end up with another Man United result, and we don't want that at all. You know, that's, we really don't want that. But no, take the hard day off, go and watch the game, enjoy, and you'll be celebrating a win on Friday and recovering Saturday.
That's the spirit. That's what we like to hear. Right, John, Shrin asks, what do Chambers and Holding have to do to break into the first team?
I don't know, really. We've said this before. I'm not sure he trusts them completely in the league at the moment. Clearly, Koscielny is his number one, and I think he wants to play Monreal as one of the centre-backs. I'm still not convinced that Monreal in a two just yet. If he does it a bit more often, then maybe, but I still think he's better in a three. I'm not sure he positionally is aware enough yet in a two-man, pairing as centre-back. But they've got to get past them two, and they've got to get past Mustafi as well, seemingly. I suspect if Mustafi has another howler before the end of January, though, then maybe their chances improve greatly. Because there's a lot of rumours. There's talks at the moment about defenders possibly coming in. I think Callum Chambers is probably actually done at Arsenal. I don't think Wenger wants him. I'm not sure why. I really don't get it. You know, I think he's a bit stupid, to be honest, when you've got two young English lads who play together at national level and seemingly got quite a good understanding already. But I suspect he might be gone in the summer.
Yeah, it's that thing at the moment, though. I also used to believe Wenger made players better when they came to the club. I look at our current squad and I don't see who's improved over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And thankfully, Chambers has got a longer contract than Wenger at the moment. Because if you look at his development, you know, he was thrown to the Wolves when he first came here. He's had a really good loan spell last season.
I mean, that might also be learning the game. Maybe it's a case of Arsene's finally learnt that he can't do that to young players, or some young players need a bit more protection, and he's being overly cautious. And it's a couple of people, sorry, just to address it. They've said, you know, Chambers signed a new contract. I think that's more just Arsenal protecting their investment than anything else. He was gone. He was out of the door. He was done before.
It wasn't only a 2 year, and that's quite unusual just to get a 2 year.
Arsenal was done. He was about to walk out the door. They were about to sell him, and then the Mustafi thing fell through, and they weren't getting the replacements and everything else, and they had to keep hold of him. I think the big thing is the contract was done. But in my opinion, I don't know that for a fact, but that's just, yeah.
Yeah, but if he keeps on performing like he did tonight, him and Holding, if they keep on developing like that, because, you know, whatever you say about Karol and Arnautovic, they're experienced strikers. They've been around, they're very physical. They we've seen Karol rip Koscielny in the arsehole on a couple of occasions. They dealt with it tonight. They dealt with it, so onwards and upwards. They've got to develop and keep on going.
Rudy, the reason why they would give him a contract is because then he's got a longer contract so they can get more money for him. It's the same as if we gave Jack Wilshere a contract now and sold him. If we were going to sell Jack Wilshere, it would make more sense to give him a contract extension and then sell him so we could get more money. That's why clubs do it. Loads of clubs do it. It's a very common thing.
We wait and see in it. You know, hopefully these guys can develop and become a mainstay of the defence.
I like both of them.
Yeah, I do. I think they're both really talented guys, but it's a tough position to come into the Premier League. Carl, John Bernstein asks, would you rest Bellerin and start a Ashley Maitland-Niles? A Ainsley Maitland-Niles.
Touch of the Dannys.
Yeah, what would you do?
I would, but I don't. Not against Liverpool. I think we're going to need our players and our good players, and right now he's not having a very good game, but you need Bellerin in the squad. After the Liverpool game, I would actively give him a rest, and I'd probably tell him as well and say, look, I'm going to rest you for a few games just so you can get your head right, just because he's not been playing very well. And you know, you've got Ainsley Maitland-Niles who's playing well, you've got Kolasinac who's there or Kolasinac, however you say his name is, who's there ready to come in. And depending, we need to go back to the back four. I think the back three is kind of done now. And if we go back to a back four, I just think we have more options. I really do. So, because you can always play, we've got left back options, we've got right back options. So I would go back to the back four after the Liverpool game. I would definitely rest Bellerin.
Okay, cool. Right, we're going to wrap this up soon. We got a couple more questions. The first one, I want you both to answer this. Bradley Tucker and Fly KJ asks about David Luiz. John, do you want him?
I'd have him. We had a very brief discussion about this last night in the WhatsApp group. Lots of people said no. Yeah. Lots of people concerned about his age. I'd take him all day long. I think he's a very good underrated defender. He can play midfield as well. And yeah, he has some crazy moments, but I've got no problem with that.
We've got Koscielny, haven't we? They're the crazy moments there.
Yeah, but we've got Koscielny who can realistically at the moment looks like can only play one game a week. David Luiz can play more than that. And being 30 years old now and being a centre-back is not the same as being 30 years old and a centre-back 10 years ago. People can play for a lot longer than they used to be able to. And if he happens to have his crazy moment and it's against Tottenham, that's fine, because he's the sort of bloke who will get annoyed and would go and break someone's leg, like a Dele Alli, for example.
Oh, don't.
No, he's been going around all season trying to break people's legs, but he's all right.
Yeah, no. But that's like a dream I have. Of
exactly. And I don't see enough Arsenal players doing that at the moment, so that's the kind of crazy I want. But actually, as a player, I think he's very good. He's very underrated. And people just look at his mistakes, and they instantly jump all over that.
Carl, your opinion on Luiz?
No, I wouldn't take him for the simple fact that he's 30. And I think that, okay, I know what John's saying, that the old 30 is not the new 30, but for £30 million, there are better options out there. If you add some money onto that, you could go and get someone else. I really do. And I just think that, yes, he's the sort of player who give you the unexpected. He can go and bang in a goal from 30 yards out, or he could give away six penalties in a game. You know, this is just, with him, there's no sort of in between. And I think that there are so many better options out there than buying a 30-year-old for 30 million. I mean, me and John kind of got the same sort of outlook. It's not my money. I don't really care. I really don't care. Spend the money. I don't care. But yeah. I think there are more better options out there for 30 million plus than David Luiz.
Fair enough. Welcome to ABW Radio. You more often than not get an honest point of view and both sides of the coin. Junior Gunner asks, Jason, how do you feel about a potential signing of Idris Gana? Plays very similar role to Kante, just not bigged up as much because he plays for Everton. I haven't seen enough of him, to be honest with you, mate.
I think the little bloke who kicks us loads every time we play Everton.
Yeah. I think you look at certain players and you get a feel for them straight away, and the more you see them, the more you understand them. I've seen this guy play a few times, but he's never left a lasting impression on me. I don't think he's a bad player by any stretch of the imagination. He might be what we need because, you know, we haven't got it at the moment. But I'm not sure. You know, we talk about who was the boy from Nice that they were talking about, Seri.
I
haven't seen enough of him to really make my mind up on him either. You know, there's a certain type of midfielder we need to come in to complete our midfield. Okay, but they are going to have to be of a real caliber. You know, because you look at Xhaka. Xhaka's got great passing. We need somebody who can be disciplined, who's got the passing ability, who's got the legs. I think Xhaka's going through a tough time. Can he come out the other end? Yes, I do. You've also got Jack in the mix now, coming back. He's really got to prove he deserves to be in the team. You got Ramsey, who's been on good form recently. Cochrane and Elneny are just pure squad players. But we need somebody to come in and challenge. And who that is, I wouldn't say yay and I wouldn't say nay to him, to be honest with you. You guys, yes or no?
I honestly, I haven't seen tons of him. He's never really stood out for me, but yeah, he might be one of those players that you move into another club and he really shines. I think the issue at the moment, I would say, is that if you're getting a player and it's under Arsene Wenger's management, I'd rather it's a player who's established and already at the level. Like, we know he can do it. Just because I'm not sure how much Arsene's going to develop anyone, you know, anymore. I haven't seen enough of him doing it recently.
Like I said just now, I think that's done. You know, I think the days of him making players better are done. I think Arsene Wenger's at an age where he wants to be, he wants to be right. And I just don't see where anybody's really massively improved over the last 2 or 3 years. I think there's doubt in his mind, in all honesty, over how he wants to play and what he wants to achieve. And I think that's what's holding us back. That's it. To everybody in the chat box, thank you ever so much. If you can give us a like, that'd be brilliant. If you can go to iTunes and leave us a review, a nice one, please. 5 stars. You know how it goes. That would be fantastic. We will be here Friday night. We haven't finalized the lineup yet, but I'm going to do that with Carl and John now. We will be here for the Palace game, and we will be here on New Year's Eve and then for the Chelsea game. The podcast will be out next Thursday. Thank you ever so much for your support as usual. You've been brilliant. That's been a really good chat box tonight, guys. It's been a really, really good chat box. Well played. Carl, thank you ever so much. You've been a star tonight.
Pleasure as always, Jason.
It's been too long. I've enjoyed tonight. John, I see you more than I see anybody else in my life. Nice to see you again.
I see. It's honestly, there's women I've woken up with less than seeing you, Jace. It's unbelievable.
I know. I'm not as pretty, I heard. Guys, thank you ever so much. Take care. Good night. Keep it Arsenal.